السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers, we find ourselves currently in the month of Dhulqa'dah. It is a sacred month in the Islamic calendar. We come for these programs, whether it is the Jummah program, whether it is the Majlis program, Dhikr program, whether it is our daily Salah that we attend. The purpose and the objective is to cut us off from the hustle and bustle and the cycle of activities that we become so engrossed and involved in. Just to cut off a little, come to the masjid, connect ourselves and re-establish our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, alhamdulillah, with the advent of technology, we can understand these things. A person wants to make a phone call. So sometimes what happens is, while speaking on the phone, he says, "Sorry brother, I can't seem to hear you properly. Let me just move a little." So he moves a little to another area where the signal is stronger. If the signal is not strong enough, then unfortunately the conversation becomes, if not frustrating, practically impossible. He has to cut the call. He has to cut the call and re-establish connection. Is to move to a location where the signal is strong enough. Now and again we'll check on our cell phones. What's happening? The reception is poor. I can't seem to send a message. I can't seem to send a call. And we've become so dependent on our gadgets. And no doubt it is a tool of great power, if used correctly. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to use this technology for our benefit, and may Allah Ta'ala protect us from the harm, because remember it is a double-edged sword. Just as it can be very beneficial, it can also be extremely harmful and detrimental. A few weeks ago, I met a person and for some work. So whilst engaged in the conversation, he turned out to be a priest, pastor from a church. So whilst talking, he had some questions that he needed to know about Islam. And first of all, the objection that he raised was that what is happening with you Muslim people? I mean, look what is happening in the Middle East. You're fighting with one another. You're fighting with one another. So of course, it's a reality and it's sad. But then I asked him the question. I said, you know, yes, that's true and it's a sad state of affairs, but let's not go too far. I said, let's not go too far. Today, forget about countries fighting with one another. Practically every family and every home, and I'm sure this is not only confined to the Muslim community, I'm sure you'll bear me out, that every single home is some fight or squabble or argument that's taking place. Brothers are fighting with brothers. Sisters are not talking to sisters. Parents are not talking to their children. Children have cut off from their parents. Family members are not on talking terms. So he says, you know, Maulana, I must tell you, it's very true what you say. He says, it's true, let's not go too far. He says, I got a situation here where my very own sister, she usurped the whole estate. Now, I'm a priest and I mean, this is not correct. So I opened my mouth and I said, this is not right what you're doing. So he says, from that day on, she's not talking to me. And so now my son is very close to her. So my son told me, well, Dad, you shouldn't be telling her what to do. At the end of the day, she had control. So I said, but it's not right, it's not right. So now my son is stopped talking to me. Now my son is not talking to me, and my very own sister is not talking to me. So the point I was trying to make is that, look, we are pointing fingers so far, but let's look right within our own homes. Unfortunately, we find there's such an environment and a toxic environment of disunity. And sometimes we say that that group is fighting with this group, and this these people are fighting with these people. But let's look within our own homes. Let's look within our own families. How much of disunity? And unfortunately, sometimes we are guilty of intensifying the disunity. We are guilty of putting fuel in that fire of disunity. For example, a family member will come to you and say, you know, this person, why is he doing this and why is he doing that? Now, instead of calming things down, we say, yeah, even last time, you remember last time? Last time also he did the same thing to you. And you remember 2 years ago he also said this, or he also said that. So what are we doing? We're adding more fuel to that fire that's now starting to burn. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, or Allah Ta'ala says that in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. That, oh, insan, oh people, the mu'mineen, we are all brothers and sisters to one another. We are brothers to one another. Therefore, reconcile between each other. Reconcile between each another to such an extent that Sharia says, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. That the person who speaks lies, the curse of Allah Ta'ala comes upon him. But there's an exception. Among the exceptions is that person who, when two parties are fighting, two parties are disputing, two parties have got some kind of confrontation, this person goes to both sides and speaks lies in order to patch them up. Forget that person being excused, he'll actually get thawab for them. He'll get rewarded for them. Because his intention is that he's right, trying to reconcile. So, for example, just to make us understand, so they're not on talking terms, two brothers. So you go to the one brother and say, I just met your brother the other day, and he was talking, he was saying, you know, what you've done for him in the past and how well you grew up, and you know, he's hoping that he can patch up again with you. And nothing like that happened. You're speaking a lie, but your intention behind that lie is that you want to reconcile. And then you go on to the other side and you do the same thing. I just came from your brother and you, this is what he said, speaking good about you. Your intention is that you want to unite them. You want to unite them, you want to bring them back together. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy and so pleased when unity is created. Unfortunately, today we seem to actually enjoy. We get enjoyment when two parties are fighting. It's become an environment. We actually smile and see, are they fighting? We like this drama. Two parties are fighting. So then we go this side and we say, ah, you know, but they are like that. This is what they were saying about you, will be hurt. And then we go that side and say, you know, this is what they were saying about you. We fuel and intensify this fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When the mu'mineen are not united, respect to the elders and brothers, so much of harm comes to the ummah. We'll give an example in the battle of Uhud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Uhud, we know that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially did not want to engage in the battle. He saw the josh of the young Sahaba. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we need to go. That is why we need jawani ka josh, lekin we need burhaba ka hosh. You have to have the elders and the seniors there to control things. If we leave everything in the hands of the youth, they will make such mistakes which unfortunately they will regret. Old people, the elders in our community, they've gone through life, they've experienced things, they have experience behind the name. That is why Arabic saying goes, Salil Mujarrab wala tas'alil hakim. Ask the experienced people, don't ask the people who are necessarily wise. Person who's experienced, he's gone through it. He's already seen. He's seen the dry land, he's seen the wet land, he's seen sun, he's seen shade, he's seen darkness. So anyway, Nabi Kareem Sassam was not, but the young Sahaba, they said, no, we need. So Rasulullah Sassam put two or three coats of armor on, it is mentioned. A lesson we can derive from this is that adoption of the means is not against trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people have this misunderstanding that when we trust in Allah ta'ala, so then it means we must just say tawakkaltu ala Allah and leave everything. Don't do anything. And Nabi Kareem Sassam says, tie your camel, then trust in Allah. First tie your camel. Make sure you put on the alarm system. You've got the burglar guards, you've got the security company. But don't trust that. Because a person can have the state-of-the-art security, and with all of that too, if Allah Ta'ala wants that item to some kind of robbery or hold up to take place, it will take place. But we have to adopt the means. So park the car correctly, switch on the alarm system, make sure that everything is in place. But put your trust in Allah. That, Ya Allah, I have done what is within my capacity. Within my capacity, I have done. Now, Ya Allah, I ask you to look after it. Now, if the person says, he parks his car in a dangerous area, keeps the doors open, puts the keys inside, and then the car gets stolen, then afterwards he says, no, it's taqdeer. So that is not taqdeer, that is basically the person's negligence, which he's trying to blame on taqdeer. One person came to one of the elders, one of the senior ulama, Hakim ul-Ummah, Maulana Sharif Jaber Sahib Thani Rahmatullah, he came to him. What happened was, he was a person in his 80s. So he got married to a 20-year-old girl. And then afterwards, obviously there's no compatibility. That marriage ended up in divorce. So he came to Hazrat, he said, Hazrat, make dua, now divorce took place. So Hazrat told him, what happened? So he said, no, it's taqdeer. So Hazrat said, you do silly things, you do foolish things, and then you blame taqdeer. You're getting married, you are 80, one foot is already in the grave, and as we say, the other foot is on a banana peel, and then now you want to get married to a woman who is so young, and then you want to blame taqdeer because there's no compatibility. So, in other words, we have to adopt the correct means. We have to do the right thing that is within our capacity, that is within our means. The rest, Allah Ta'ala, will leave it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali Ghaliban, or Sheikh al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he was imprisoned in Malta. He had stood up against the British colonial rule. He was part and parcel against that struggle for the freedom of India. And because of that, he was finally captured and he was imprisoned for many, many months in Malta. But his habit was every Friday he would make his ghusl, he would wear his clean clothing, he would apply the itar, and then he would take a walk right till the gates of the prison. So people asked him, Hazrat, you can't go for Jummah, you are in the prison, now what are you going to do? So he says, I can do that much, right till there, the rest I leave to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala can see my talab. So this is the thing, that a person does what is within his capacity and leaves the rest to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So therefore, from the lesson that we learn from that is, Nabi Kareem Sassam wore a few coats of armor. Adoption of the means is not against trusting in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And can anyone say that, na'udhu billah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, someone has more tawakkul than Nabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabi Kareem Sassam could have said that, I won't take any armor, I will just go straight into the battle because I have total trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Nabi Kareem Sassam was teaching a lesson to the Ummah that we will adopt the means as best as possible, but our tawakkul and our trust will always be in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that kind of tawakkul. Nevertheless, when the battle took place, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a form of strategy, he had placed Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu on the mountain with the 40 archers. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu had given them strict instructions that, come what may, do not leave that post, for you will protect the rear of that particular army. The battle had taken place, mashallah, the Muslims were gaining victory. From that position, they had viewed and they thought that seems like the Muslims are winning. Looks like the battle is over and now the booty is going to be distributed. We do not want to get left behind with this booty. Therefore, let's go down and get our share. As Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu told them, that Rasulullah Sassam has clearly instructed us that we must not leave this position. So he said, what he meant was that, you know, as long as the battle takes place, and there was some kinds of a difference of opinion that took place, and as a result, some of them went down. So there was some kind of disunity that took place in that particular position. Because of that, the entire Muslim army, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had suffered some kind of injury and some kind of pain. Ulama ikram and mufassirin explain that, of course, we should never ever look down upon the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has made it such that these Sahaba al-Kiram made certain mistakes in their lives. They were human beings. Now for us to point finger and say, but this Sahabi did that and this Sahabi did that, we need to understand that, respected elders and brothers, one person came to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. There was some kind of a difference of opinion between Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So somebody said something against Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Today our condition is this, that if we are engaged in a certain work of deen and somebody else is engaged in another work of deen and somebody has to say something about that person, so we find enjoyment in that. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and purify our hearts. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said that, you see, you are not even equivalent. You are not even equivalent to the dust that settles in the nostrils of the donkey of Ali radiallahu anhu. How dare you speak ill of Ali radiallahu anhu when you are not even equivalent to the dust that settles in the nostrils of the donkey of Ali radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. What kind of respect they had for one another. So this is the thing, that the Sahaba ikram, they are far above. Allah Ta'ala has declared in the Quran Sharif, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala has engraved and carved and stamped upon their hearts taqwa. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Allah Ta'ala discusses the Sahaba ikram and elaborates that those Sahaba are such, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That not only are they pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah is pleased with them. Now Allah Ta'ala has given them the certificate that Allah is pleased with them. And they are jannati. So many of them have been given glad tidings of jannat in this world. So therefore we cannot look down upon any sahaba. The sahaba of radiyallahu of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are stars. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ashabi kal nujum bi ayyihim uqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahaba are like guiding stars. Whichever one you will follow, or you will look into their life and study their lives, you will find some kind of hidayat and guidance for you. So therefore, we cannot look down upon any sahabi. There was one sahabiya in Madinatul Munawwara. She had committed zina. She had committed zina, but she made such a tawbah. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She confessed her guilt. She confessed her sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, first wait till the child is born. As soon as the child was born, again she presented herself to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a sin. Cleanse me, purify me. Inflict the punishment upon me so that I can be purified. So that in front of Allah Ta'ala I am clean. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to this child, first let this child suckle. Again she brought the child. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, first let this child eat. Start eating and be independent. Again, now imagine, she could have gone somewhere and disappeared. She could have ran to another land. Look at the kind of jazba they had. Look at the kind of ta'alluq they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She finally again presents herself with the child, totally independent. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no option. The command of Allah ta'ala, she is now going to be executed. Whilst the process of execution is taking place, one sahabi hurls some kind of abuse against her. Look at this woman, whatever it may have been. Nabi Kareem Sassim immediately reprimands her and he utters these words, لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِمَتْ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْهُ. That this woman has made such a tawbah, that if her tawbah has to be distributed in Medina, it will completely forgive all the occupants of Medina. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, Sahaba Ikiram, Ulama Ikiram have explained this way. It was as if the Sahaba Ikiram had sacrificed their lives by making these mistakes so that the people who come thereafter will learn lessons. That what will happen if we make this mistake? They made those mistakes, but they made such tawbah, Allahu Akbar. So nevertheless, we should never ever look down upon the Sahaba Ikiram. So there was some kind of difference that took place. And as a result, the entire Muslim armies suffered, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn from this is that when there is differences of opinion and when there is disunity in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unfortunately the harm is upon the entire ummah, and sometimes that harm goes beyond you. It goes beyond. Therefore, each and every individual, now we would say, but we can't change things, how are we going to change things? But we can do it within our own families and within our own homes. So sometimes within the family, there's some kind of difference of opinion, there's some kind of, something is said from this side and something is said from that side. As Maulana Sahab Rahmatullah used to always mention with regards to mother-in-law and you know, wife on the one side. And you have this person, he's the son. He's got his mother on one side. He's got his wife on the other side. Now they're always, Awad Ustad used to say, you can put 10 men together in a room. For 1 week, 1 month, to no problem. But put two women in the room for 1 week and see what will happen. It must be some kind of difference of opinion. That is why as a Mu'anisab Rahmatullah Ali was amongst the first that you was constantly encouraging that when the person gets married, he should try and find his own place, even if it's something small. So at that time when Hazrat Mu'anisab Rahmatullah started saying that, many people were saying that Maulana is creating disunity. He's dividing families. He's dividing families. Why is he telling the son-in-law, or why is he telling the son to live somewhere else? But Hazrat was trying to explain, then why wait? Why wait for the fight to start and then we have to separate? You should say, rather live separately and that way the mahabbat will remain. In Arabic they say, Zurghibban tazdad hubban. Sometimes you visit on occasionally, the mahabbat will increase. And the person is always in and out, and we take each other for granted. And in that process, something is then said, which then causes some kind of a fight, some kind of injury. So now within our own families, so Hazrat used to say that if now the mother comes to you and says, but you know your wife now, I'm waking up early in the morning and sorting the kitchen out and doing this here, your wife is sleeping. You tell her to do something also. She's just sleeping here in the kitchen. Whatever it may be that the mother comes and complains about the wife. We as husbands, we have to walk a very fine, you know, what you call that thing that they walk on, balancing act. So we have to be walk this side, not that side, not this side. So Hazrat used to say, your mother comes to you, you tell your mother, my wife said that, very, very wrong what she said, totally wrong, don't worry, I'll sort out. I don't mention anything to the wife. And then the wife comes to complain about your mother, you know, your mother is saying this here, and she's not even allowing me to come in the kitchen, and she did her kitchen, and she's not, my mother lets me come in the kitchen, whatever it may be, she comes to complain. At that time, side with her, said, no, my mother is being very, she's not being right what she's doing, don't worry, I'll sort out. After, don't say anything to the mother, don't say anything to the wife. This way, the wife doesn't feel that the husband is not listening to her. And on the other hand, the mother doesn't feel that the son is siding with his wife over myself. So subhanallah, the ahlullah, Allah has given them this kind of hikmah. But the objective was, is that create unity within our families. These things will happen, it's bound to happen. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is the one who maintains family ties? لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلْ بِالْمُكَافِي إِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَحَ. Who is the person who is maintaining family ties? Otherwise it's very easy if the person, he makes salam to you, you make salam to him. He gives you hadiah, you give hadiah to him. He visits you, you visit him. That's easy. Because we're getting something in return. The person who maintains something is when something breaks. The person has got the car and something broke. Now he makes sure that he gets this car sorted out. We say he's very good at maintenance. He makes sure as soon as something breaks, he sorts it out. He maintains his home. Cutter broke, this broke. Immediately he gets it sorted out. He's very good at maintenance. When something breaks, he sorts it out. The person who maintains family ties is when there's some issue that has taken place. Some problem, some fight, some misunderstanding. إِذَا قُطِعَتْ وَصَلَحَا. Then he makes an effort to join it. He rejoins that family ties. This is the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the salihun, the qualities of the pious. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِيَا يُوصَلِ. Mu'mineen, true mu'mineen are those individuals that they join the family ties, that family ties which Allah has enjoined and commanded and encouraged us to maintain. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we need to make every effort within our homes, within our families. And sometimes it's within our own children. Sometimes as a parent, very often one sibling, one child will come to us complaining about the other. Now if we're going to allow this kind of thing to happen, then effectively what we are doing is we are encouraging our, the brothers, our very own children to fight with each other. We should encourage them. Fine, sort it out with them. Ask them to make maaf. Hear both sides of the story. Never make it appear to one child that we are siding with one child over the other. Because then this also creates a feeling of disunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability. It is not easy to have children. It is a great responsibility. It is a great amanat. But yes, it comes with great rewards. A person who passes away and is brought up children who are pious, then subhanAllah, these children, as long as they are alive and as long as they will continue making the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these parents who made an effort to bring up the children correctly, this will be a source of great reward and barakah for these children. So therefore, respected Allahs and brothers, we were mentioning that unity within the ummah is extremely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes extremely displeased when we do any action that will intensify and increase the disunity, whether it's disunity within our homes, within our families, within the Muslim ummah, the broader Muslim ummah as such. And for this, respected elders and brothers, we need to control our tongues. So watch what we say. Sometimes something is said and then we then convey it. And this controlling of the tongue in today's times has been now broadened to another realm. We are now living in a virtual world. We are living in a cyber world, and the internet and social media networks. So just like how we will chat with one another, we also have chatting in the cyber world. We have the chat groups, different forms of applications, whether it's the WhatsApp or the SMS or what, the Telegram or whatever it may be. So here too, we have to be very cautious. Sometimes it's an entire group. We don't even know half the people on that group. And the question is, if we are sitting in a gathering and we have a whole lot of people that are sitting there, we will not say whatever we feel like saying. We will consider everybody that is seated there. And that person is from this place. Let me not say anything that will upset him. That person is from there. Let me not say, or that person has got this background, that maybe his father and mother are divorced. So let me not speak something that may her cause injury to him. Because we are sitting in a environment where we see each other. So we tend to consider each other. But unfortunately, in these chat groups, you find a situation where we don't even know who the others are on this group. And suddenly we just post something which may be hurtful to someone else and we're not even aware. That is why we should be extremely cautious what we put on these groups, what we say, whether we promote something, whether we back something. It may cause injury to others. And we have to understand that there will always be differences of opinion. And sometimes both are valid on both sides. Sometimes there are senior ulama on these sides and senior ulama on that side. We cannot enforce our view on down the throats and thrust our view down the throats of others. This is a kind of an attitude of intolerance. We have to understand that as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that we have to develop tolerance within our lives. Look at, for example, now Hajj will be coming soon. In this activity of Hajj, you will find that a person has to interact with people from all walks of life, people with all backgrounds. And what we are told, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Now the person is upsetting you because he doesn't know, he hasn't been taught about adab and about respect and about consideration for others. He didn't go to a maktab and a madrasa. Now he will do something that will cause you some kind of frustration. But now the command is, keep quiet, no fighting. In other words, tolerate it. Even though you don't like it, tolerate it. Islam teaches us tolerance. The amal of Islam teaches us tolerance. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, it is extremely important for us to bring back this quality of tolerance within our lives. Everybody cannot accept our way. Every person cannot follow our way. Every person cannot have our style and our temperament. Allah has created the world differently. Sometimes you get soft sand, sometimes you get hard sand, sometimes you get rocky sand. But that is how the earth is made up. In the same way, you will find people of different temperaments, different mizaj. Allah has created it like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to develop this quality of tolerance. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who brings about unity within our families, unity within our homes, unity within our communities and within our societies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who unites the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine how pleased Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will become. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this ummah in one ummah, one solid ummah. But unfortunately today, the ummah has been fragmented into a million pieces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.